Are a lot of folks that you work with able to understand and access the recovery resources that are out there?
Currently, no, actually. But I work with a very specific population that's not necessarily representative of the whole Latino community in Sonoma County. You know, most of our folks are migrant workers, documented, undocumented, that are Spanish speaking. Some, you know, at least at our center, their schooling is, they didn't accomplish that because they didn't have access to it in their home country. So even if the resource information was there, being able to read it and comprehend it, that's still a challenge. You know, we also have folks that Spanish is not their first language. Some speak indigenous languages like Mixteco and Triqui. You know, I think that if we do get resource information, it's really going to be up to the agencies and the nonprofits to communicate that to the rest of the community. It's going to take an effort between government and service providers. I feel like that's the main way that we can successfully get the resource information to the person.
You mentioned in your talk that immediately after the fires, a lot of folks were asked to work and felt obligated to accept that work because they weren't sure when they were going to get that again. Yet there were no safety precautions in place, and a lot of people didn't even end up getting those paychecks. Can you talk a little bit about that?
That was very common, especially with our community of immigrant workers that are migrant workers, seasonal workers, or people that work in the fields or in the people's gardens. And they did come to the center looking for jobs. But even as we, you know, interacted with the community and helped around the area in West County, we did see a lot of people picking grapes that didn't have the appropriate equipment. And I think that's another barrier that we had in terms of communicating the health effects of what was happening, like the ash falling, because the ash wasn't typical. There were a lot of melted toxins that were in there. So the regular protective equipment that you would use, it didn't work.
You also talked a bit about wage theft. Did that get worse after the fires? And how did the fires impact wage theft?
You know, there were a lot of third parties that were providing the work, like staff agencies, and I think that that fell short of someone communicating with them, like, hey, don't forget that they're about to go and remove burnt drywall or this or that, and they need personal protective equipment. I think there's a lot of hot potatoing of this information, especially when you don't have the actual person that's going to pay you hiring directly. They use other parties to find folks, like subcontractors or staffing agencies. So what we're hoping to do in the next year is motivating our County Board of Supervisors, or at least our city council members in Santa Rosa, to pass a wage theft ordinance. The laws already exist in the books for the state of California, but to have something that's local, and hopefully it could be akin to not only having more protections, but also education for a lot of the vulnerable communities that end up doing this kind of hazardous work.